For WTOP News, this is the Book Report. I'm Tariq King. Dana Bash is CNN's chief political correspondent. She's the anchor of CNN's Inside Politics with Dana Bash, and along with Jake Tapper, she's a co-anchor of CNN's Sunday morning program, State of the Union. Her new book, out from Hanover Square Press, is America's Deadliest Election, the cautionary tale of the most violent election in American history. And I'm so happy to have her on the Book Report. Dana, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
What initially drew you to this particular story, the story of the 1872 Louisiana gubernatorial election? Why this as the focus for, I believe this is your first book, right?
Yes, it is. And this was something that I was shocked that I didn't know about, and embarrassed that I didn't know about, because it was such a pivotal time, not just in Louisiana history, it's during Reconstruction, but it begins with the story of the chaotic and horrible election in Louisiana in 1872, but the repercussions of what happened in that state are national and are lasting up until where we are today.
For listeners who may not be familiar with exactly what happened there, what is the story that this narrative tells? What's the book about?
It's sort of two parts. The era was Reconstruction. The Civil War was over. President Grant was trying to continue President Lincoln's Reconstruction policies. And there was a big divide in America, in the North, as well as between the North and the South, about how to go about not just the bricks and mortar of rebuilding the South, but of societally, culturally, how to bring the South back into America. And for the first time, most importantly, to give people who were slaves just a few years earlier the rights that they deserved and the rights that they were required to have post-Civil War. And the bulk of it is about what happened in Louisiana. And then the second part is how the Louisiana chaos electorally bled into other states and created a stalemate in the presidential election in 1876.
There was a foreshadowing of what was to come actually in the 1868 election, right?
What happened with the 1868 election is the segregationists, the racists in the South, who were still extremely upset about losing the Civil War and wanted to maintain some semblance of their quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes, way of life, which is keeping Black Americans from having rights. They realized the way to do that is at the ballot box. And so there was intimidation, there was disenfranchisement, there was violence, there was murder in order to keep the Black voters from actually being able to cast their votes. And the result was true corruption. In 1872, there was widespread fraud. I mean, there was no question about it, primarily because you had all of these disenfranchised Black voters. And nobody would concede the election. So the result was you had two governors who were actually inaugurated by their people. You had two legislatures sworn in. You had two slates of judges, and each was pretending like they were the ones who were in charge.
Ballot boxes disappeared and folks went around and tried to forcefully discourage voters of color, Black voters, from voting. What are some of the specific moments during that election that you found particularly shocking?
The leaders were talking about violence, encouraging violence in the streets. They were absolutely for the idea of using bloodshed to get what they wanted. And that happened in an extraordinarily ugly, horrific way with the Colfax Massacre, which took place in Grant Parish, named for Ulysses S. Grant, where 150, probably more than 150, Black men were slaughtered in cold blood as they tried to protest and stand up for the fact that their votes were disenfranchised. It was so horrific. It's almost impossible to believe, except that it did happen. And the question became, how are they going to get justice? And it was the South, and it was in the 1870s, so it was not going to happen on the state level. So they decided to try to prosecute it through the federal system because they now had these new constitutional amendments about civil rights. Because it wasn't a question before that, because Black Americans were slaves and they didn't have the right to vote, it was the first time really in American history that we saw that these racist segregationists understood the power of the right to vote and the need, if they want to keep their white supremacist views in place as policy in their society, then they're going to have to do what they can to intimidate Black voters. I mean, this is how the KKK began, not in Louisiana and Tennessee, but offshoots of it. The White League was that version of it at that time in Louisiana. These were Civil War soldiers. They were Civil War leaders, and they just morphed after the war was over into becoming basically almost militia forces within the societies. And the idea of using intimidation at the ballot box has been a tool of those groups and those people who have those discriminatory views ever since.
Are we essentially still fighting the same fight?
Yes.
Would you say that this is the sort of central fault in American society?
Yes, it is. And I mean, on that note, like, I just keep thinking about with this book, like, what could have been? Imagine if Reconstruction worked. Imagine if the federal government shut down the segregationists politically the way they did militarily during the Civil War and said, we're not going to allow you to suppress the Black vote. We're not going to allow you to push Black citizens to the back of the bus or make them use different water fountains and bathrooms and on and on and on. Imagine if that worked. What kind of world we would be living in right now if we didn't have to contend with the horrible racism that was allowed to fester for 100 years in this country.
Did you know about this history when you covered the most recent presidential election, the 2020 election?
No, and boy, do I wish I did, particularly as it relates to the end of 2020, January 6th, 2021, what happened in the 1876 election. That was an election where, because of this corruption in Louisiana and other states, when it came time to certify the votes in Congress, Congress wouldn't certify 4 states because it was just too corrupt. They got 2 slates of electors, and there was a discussion about whether the vice president had the power to decide which elector or whether or not it was just a ceremonial role. Sound familiar?
If you had known, do you think that it may have changed perhaps your approach to covering elections? And if so, how?
Yes, because it's the old adage about if you don't learn from history, then you're going to likely repeat it. And there was a lot of repeating or rhyming that went on. And it was so chaotic on January 6th. And had I known the details of what happened at the Electoral College vote in Congress back in 1876, I felt like I definitely would have been much more informed and maybe even prepared for the kind of thing that we saw in 2021 in the way that we are all more prepared than we were 4 years ago.
So you've got a person, they're standing in a bookstore, they're looking at this cover. What will they get from picking up America's Deadliest Election? What will they learn from it?
What you will learn is how we got where we are as a society is going to blow your mind, because so much of what could have been didn't happen thanks to this deadly election in 1872 after the Civil War. I went to a pretty good public school in New Jersey, but this is, I think, another example of how we as Americans in school learn about the history that the winners, I put those in air quotes for people listening, want us to learn, and not always a fulsome history. And I hope that this book contributes to adding a lot more context and important information around American history, especially that history that is so consequential for how our country has evolved and devolved over the past 150 years.
An incredibly well-researched, informative, well-written piece I think that everyone should know. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you so much for being with us on the Book Report today.
Thank you. It was so great to talk to you. Thank you for reading it. Thank you for being so kind. I love WTOP. I listen to it all the time. Traffic and weather on the 8th.
And I thank everyone for listening to this edition of the Book Report. For WTOP News, I'm Tariq King.